Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back. Taxation is Theft. And I used the word guys, which I guess is a microaggression. I'm not supposed to say that. Welcome, Drew the NCAP. How's it going?
Me.
We kind of have a special edition tonight. You'll notice I have my mug right here. Drew's got his. Basically, I said, hey, is this a topic we can drink over? And he was like, yeah. So, and he doesn't know this yet. I'm about to tell you what I've got to drink. Because I was looking through my fridge, and I found some rum. I couldn't find any mixers, because, like, I just finished them yesterday. There's water, there's coconut milk, and neither of those sound good with rum. So, although coconut sounds good, but not milk. That just sounds gross. So, but I did have a pineapple, which... And nice. Drew, as a member of the Pineapple Caucus, I think that's acceptable. So I didn't have anything to juice the pineapple, so I just like started pineapple soaking them in rum. So that's my drink for today. And what are you just sipping on over there?
I just got a whiskey and Coke.
Awesome. All right, so. We've got a couple interesting topics we're going to talk about, let's kick it off with the Pineapple Pizza Caucus. Tell me about it. What is the Pineapple Pizza Caucus that everybody's raving about these days?
Well, the Pineapple Pizza Caucus is a single goal caucus to spread the message that pineapple is an acceptable pizza topping, and I think we're doing a pretty good job. We're racking up followers pretty quick for one of the many caucuses in the LP, and if you are a candidate that you know is a libertarian, running in the Libertarian Party, and eats pineapple pizza, have them send us a pic. We'll share it.
And also, these are, for those who don't know, I can't tell you that I am running for president, but I can't tell you that I'm not in 2020. But... these stickers, legalized pineapple pizza, will be available soon somewhere on the website. I got to figure out the whole distribution chain because, of course, it's not cheap to ship these from Mexico. So I got to figure that all out. But, it's amazing how many bigots are out there telling us that we can't put pineapple on our pizza. And I think it's all Trump's fault.
I'm really surprised. Well,
he started this division. Divisive politics. So tell me about, like, how big is this Pineapple Pizza Caucus? There's a Facebook page, right?
We have a Facebook page. We like I said, we're just starting out. We're, I believe, just under 1,000 followers at the moment.
Not bad.
After this election cycle, we're going to start opening the floor to actually creating bylaws and a platform and officially do whatever we need to do inside the LP. But it's been fun so far, and taking on the trolls is always entertainment.
Okay, Desiree just posted in the comments, I thought Trump wanted mushroom pizza.
That's... What's wrong with mushrooms, though? I mean, come on, don't hate mushrooms.
Well, so she's running the mushroom caucus, the Free the Shrooms caucus. So I don't even know how many of these, like, I don't even know what the difference is between a legit caucus or not. I just love saying the word. It's apparently we're the caucus party.
There is the caucus of the Libertarian Party too, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a double caucus. Well, let's talk about what the actual purpose of a caucus is, because I know a lot of people they don't care too much about politics. I never knew what a caucus was until, like, probably a year or two ago. What's the purpose of a caucus, and what are... I feel like Facebook's going to take this video down if I say that word too many times. What's really the purpose of a caucus within a party?
Bye. The way I look at it, there's two purposes one can have. You can either try to sway the way the party moves in like pushing platform amendments, or you can just be a group inside of the party that tries to grab members to do things other than just libertarian arguing and fighting.
And the regular fighting. Yeah, so it's really kind of like, I guess they're kind of like cliques within the clique. Sorry, and I haven't even had that much to drink yet. I'm not even tipsy yet. I'm just laughing at everything. I've got the giggles, man. I gotta tell you, this is a story about my oppression by the state. When I was in, I'm trying to think, it was middle school, like maybe eighth grade. I had this teacher, and like by the end of this was like almost, it was either fifth or sixth period, which is like, you know, the end of the day. After lunch, I was all sugared up, and I'm trying to remember exactly the context, but basically like I was just in a goofy, I'm always in a goofy mood usually by the end of the day. And so I would just sit there, like I would just get into like chuckle mode, and I would try and hide it, like, you know, this is English class, so everyone's quiet and trying to read. And man, I got sent to the principal's office and punished so many times because I was laughing. What the fuck is that all about? Is that a crime now? Oh man. Anyway, so I have the giggles. It's not the alcohol yet, because I don't have enough of that yet. I was going to say something about, my memory's gone too. I was going to say something about caucuses. Cocci. Are they called? Caucuses. So, well, okay, I guess this is really interesting, because we actually have, like, within the Libertarian Party, there's so many different types of people, right? Like, we've got the Republican lights and the statists and the commies. I mean, it's so weird, like some of the people that are in the party. I remember I talked to one guy at the convention, and I was handing out all my taxation as theft swag, and this guy was like, oh, I can't take that. And I'm like, you don't think that taxation is theft? And he's like, well, I do, but my family receives so much money from the government, I would be a hypocrite to wear that. And I'm like, okay, so you're proudly accepting stolen money, and you're a part of the Libertarian, like, okay, like, some people just don't make any sense.
There's a lot of that inside the party.
Yeah.
But it seems to always be rotating through people, so.
Yeah, that's true. They say, what, 50% of the delegates come back the next year. And the delegates really only make up, like what? Like, at the National Convention, there were, like, maybe 1,000 delegates versus what the party claims is its entire membership base, which is, like, I don't even know what, probably like 50,000 or 100,000 that they...
Who pays the $20?
Yeah, exactly. It's whoever pays the $20. But at the same time, that's interesting. And this has always been an argument that I've used about, like, you know, everybody's concerned about growing the party, and I think that's fine. But if you look at the Democratic voters, there's like 100 million Democratic voters. And half of them are dead. But
the other half are brain dead.
So you have all these, they're voters, but they're not delegates really. I mean, the delegates make up a very, very small percentage. And I think that, you know, when the Libertarians, I probably have said this a million times, when the Libertarians focus on, you know, party over principle, let's grow the party, let's get more people in here, and they all want them to participate, you get people who are like, oh, I can play a part in a political party, like, more than just like going to the voting booth and pressing the thing. And they get excited, and then the next thing you know, and like, they don't care about the ideology, like they're just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go join a cult. And then it's like the next thing they're doing, they're like, oh, I'm gonna run for office, I'm gonna be on the ballot. And it's like, you can get anybody excited about that, but getting them to vote for a libertarian is cool. Getting them to pretend to be a libertarian and participate in the entire process, whether it's running as a candidate or being a delegate, when they have no idea what the libertarian philosophy is, I think that's dangerous. That's going to lead to the collapse of the party, in my opinion.
I completely agree. I mean, at a certain point, we end up watering it down so much that somebody like Bill Weld can end up on the ticket.
God, not if I have anything to do with it. That is the only reason I cannot tell you that I'm not running for president, but I cannot tell you that I am running for president, is to make sure that Bill Weld does not get the nomination. And that's another, hold on, I got to drink break. That's actually like a really interesting and controversial subject, because a lot of people, first of all, a lot of people are going to support him because he was, you know, endorsed by, what's his name, Gary Johnson last time. So the Gary Johnson people are just going to be like, oh, well, Bill Weld, that was Gary Johnson's pick. It's still going to be, I'm still a Gary Johnson person. So they're going to pick Bill Weld. And then we have this other thing that's going around where, like, so many people are now saying, oh, well, I hear Bill Weld's more like a anarchist now. He's like, what's his name? Adam Kokesh says he's an anarchist now. And, like, I hear, like, all these little people, and I'm like, okay, I get it. Libertarian is usually a stepping stone into becoming an anarchist, but he's spent how many years as a politician? I think maybe someone for somebody who doesn't have strong ideological beliefs to go like from whatever they are to libertarian to anarchist, I think that's fine. That can happen pretty fast. But when you've been, what is he, a Republican, right? Or is, however you want to say it.
Yeah. 90s Republican.
Yeah, like when you've been like, he's been elected governor. He's been, I don't know what else he's done before that. But like when you've been a political, a career politician for that long, and either you haven't been concrete in your beliefs then, which means like, okay, you're probably not concrete in your beliefs now, or you shouldn't have been running if you're not concrete in your beliefs, or you were concrete in your beliefs and that makes it very impossible for you to become what people are calling an anarchist now without you just saying, oh yeah, I'm an anarchist, and playing along as best as you can just so you can get the vote and be elected, which is insane.
That's exactly what it would be with him. It would just be playing along. He only pays lip service to the LP.
Right. And it could be like, he could be a plant. He could be controlled opposition. That's one of those things we'll never know unless someone admits to it. And they're probably hiding their emails better than Hillary Clinton.
Well, he knows her, so he probably learned from her mistakes.
Yeah, right? He's like, so after you fired that guy, who did you hire to run your email server? Let's see. I'm just reading some of the comments here. The Psychedelic Caucus, that's the one that does raise in with for the Free the Shrooms and the Audacious Caucus. So what's interesting about these caucuses, because like I'm really not big on like memberships and like, that always reminds me of like going to the gym and like getting screwed. So like I don't like, but I'm still like, I participate with like all these caucuses. I don't know if I'm considered a member or not. I don't know if I have voting rights or not. I guess sometimes I get emails saying you can vote, so on those I get to vote. But it's really interesting because there's so many, and like honestly, I like the causes that they're going for, and I like all the people that are in them. So hey, why not? Let's do whatever that is.
Some of them really feel like a gym membership with their exorbitant membership fees every year, Radical Caucus. But then there's ones like the Audacious Caucus, where there is no yearly fee. There's no fee.
I like that. Free. The way this country should be. Free.
Exactly.
So, let's talk about Brian Ellison. He's got some pretty big balls on that guy. He's
Yeah, his whole
so
family.
he's man, where do you start with Brian? So he's I'm actually heading to Detroit. I think it's the weekend after this weekend. And we're gonna do like a joint town hall. We're gonna talk about all kinds of things from police corruption to taxation being theft. But so his campaign is really interesting because I actually interviewed him a while back, and he was talking about he wanted to be a police officer at one point. He went to the academy, and then he was just like, screw this, these guys are all corrupt. And then in the town where he lives, or I guess the town next to where he lives, the police department killed a couple people, and he's been chasing them down, trying to get, something to happen on that, because it's one of those things where, like, oh, we investigated ourselves and we found no wrongdoing and like swept it under the rug, and that's it. And
Yeah,
he's,
they even got a restraining order against him.
yeah, that, which is pretty fucking epic. I mean, who gets a restraining order against him from the police?
Right? All police. Not even
Yeah.
just, it's all uniformed officers. It's
Yeah,
like,
it
nope.
was, and then they screwed
How's
up,
that?
like they screwed up. Sorry if I'm talking over you. I'm trying to for some reason, I don't know if it's Skype. Like I can see your voice is going out to the broadcast at good levels, but I like for some reason can't hear you. Here, let me try sticking the other one in. Maybe it's the alcohol is like dumbing down my nerves going to my ears.
Maybe.
Okay, no, there it goes. No, you know what it is? I think it's for some reason, I think one side of these are not Apple headphones. These are the bootleg ones that I got for like $5 because I hate giving Apple $30 every time these shitty headphones fall apart. So apparently, like this one I can hear in and this one I can't. Okay. So what were we talking about? Brian. So they revised his restraining order at some point, and they like I was talking to him on the phone, and he's like reading it to me, and he's like you cannot have any contact with the police unless you are filing a criminal complaint or you have what is it? You have a court date, you have a court appointment set with the police. And I was like, "Well, don't you have a court date set with the police?" And he was like,
He
it,
filed a complaint.
"Well, no, well, yeah." And that was with the sheriff, because I mean, he had already tried it with the police. He tried it several times with the police, and they just outright refused to take. Which I'm trying to remember. I think that's I think it's illegal for them to refuse to take a complaint. But I've heard that it's more illegal for them to take the complaint and not do at least some minimal level of investigation with it, which is why they refused to take the complaints. And like I've seen other guys. Like there was a guy who went, he had a complaint against the police department in New York, and he went to like 10 different, 10 different precincts, and said, "Yeah, I want to file a complaint against an officer. I need the form." And they just completely like they intimidated him. They said, "Well, what's the complaint about?" And he said, "Well, I don't want to tell you. I just want to fill it out on the form and give it to you and leave because I don't want to get into a discussion about it." And they would have officers come out and, "Well, what's the complaint about? If you can't tell us, we're not going to give you the form." And they would just bully him out. Like they would, "Okay, you need to leave the department." And they would, just steamroll the guy. And this is what they like to do. And you have to get the form from them. You can't download the form from their website, which actually would be an interesting. So I've got the accountableauthority.com website, which I started a long time ago. I haven't done much on it, but it's got like a this It's called the Proposed Accountable Authority Act, which are basically different laws that were. Feel free to jump in. I feel like I'm talking too much. but so I'm going to start rambling at some point. So in this, there were like different laws that were like, okay, maybe we could pass some of these laws, which would make it easier to prosecute police. And like, so now I'm just thinking like, okay, that would be a good thing. Like if you can make those forms, like each police department has to publish those forms on their website. So anybody can download them, fill them out, print them and mail them in. Because of course you're going to the police department to file a complaint against them. Of course they're going to intimidate you. I mean,
they'll just boxed in the mail.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. Anyways, it's,
they will always find a way to protect themselves. You know?
It's true. Which is why I told him to go to the sheriff, because it's an outside agency. So he's got, I think, a little bit better chance, but apparently they were doing the same kind of thing. They were asking him bullshit questions like, well, why didn't you file the complaint earlier? And he's like, well, I fucking tried to, they wouldn't give me the form. And it's really interesting. And like, I get this because I've heard, so I interviewed Joe Bannister last night and he basically, you know, he discovered there's no law that says you have to pay income tax while he was working for the IRS. And he went and tried to tell his boss and his boss was like, you're talking like one of those crazy people. So back to Brian's story, that almost sounds like the same kind of thing. Like when you go to the police and you're trying to file a complaint against the police, I think to them, like their concept of like, you know, their stick is so far up their ass that like we're the greatest, we're God's gift to earth. That if you say the police did something wrong, they're just like, oh, he's one of these crazy people. He thinks and I get it because there are a lot of people who are like, you know, they'll get a speeding ticket and they'll be like, that cop was an asshole. I was only going 5 miles over. You should have just given me a warning. And they'll
pull them over, in my opinion. No victim, no crime.
Exactly. And that's a fair point too. But
well, I guess I'm one of those assholes because I yell at them.
Yeah. But it's, you know, there are some people who are just like, they'll take, I mean, okay, like let's even take like a real crime. Like I was there beating my wife and they kicked my door in without a warrant. Like I'm sure there are people out there saying some ridiculous shit like that. So I get it that like some people come to the police with like pretty ridiculous claims, but at the same time, and I'm sure like most, you know, most people who like every single traffic, which they shouldn't be giving out traffic tickets, but every single one of those people, I'm sure they get like a million people at their door. I want to file a complaint against this officer because he gave me a ticket. But yeah, it's, and especially when you're talking about an assault, that's like so much more of a serious crime than like, oh, he gave me a ticket. That like you should be able to say, okay, this is something serious. But it's I guess it's that prejudicial thing. Like they already have their mind made up. Oh, he's one of those crazy people. He doesn't like police. He wants to live in Somalia and defend his home with his AK-47 and
Somalia was like what all those statists think it is.
Yeah, yep. Right. If it was, I would have moved there.
Me too.
Man. So,
AR-15. I prefer those over an AK.
Yeah. So Brian's been making a lot of live streams. He did this other he made another one yesterday that I thought was pretty cool. He was pointing out, you know, like what's an assault, right? And he was pointing out that like if you went up to a cop, he said, if you go up to a cop and you just push him and say, hey, you're getting too close, stand back, and your hand just touches his chest, you're going to jail. And it's true. Like, I mean, you could walk up to a cop and just pat him on the back. Hey, good job. And they can be a dick and arrest you for, I mean, you could not even touch them and they can arrest you for it. And then it's a he said, she said thing. And guess whose side they're going to take? I mean,
yeah, it's the pig every time.
Yeah, it's not like, I mean, like even a traffic ticket is when you get to court, it's your word versus theirs. Have you ever seen somebody say, well, the cop says I was speeding, but he's lying, and then the ticket gets dismissed? Never. It doesn't happen that way. And the same thing is true with an assault. If a cop says you assaulted him, you assaulted him. Like, unless you've got video, and even if you have video, oh well, he did it after the video ended. Yeah, and it's insane to think that, like, okay, just gently pushing someone can get someone in jail for assault. Meanwhile, the police will be like, they'll have you on the ground using excessive force, pounding the shit out of you, and everyone will say, well, it was acceptable because he was resisting arrest. And it's like, no, that's still an excessive use of force that is not justified by resisting an arrest, especially if it's an unlawful arrest, which the Supreme Court says you can kill the fucking cop if it's an unlawful arrest to defend yourself. But no, statists, like, don't, that's crazy talk.
right?
Yeah, but shit. Yeah, we're fucked, man. Well, sorry, you guys are fucked. I'm down here in Mexico.
Son of a bitch.
I'm just like...
Guess where I'm heading if I'm ever on the run. Oh, wait, shit. I just said that, didn't I?
just take the detour through Canada. They'll never...
I won't go to Canada.
I mean, it's It really is fascinating, man. I mean, look, if I don't win president in 2020, I'm staying down here and I'm just going to watch the whole thing collapse from a distance. That's assuming you guys make it that far.
Yeah. At this point, you know, giant meteor, giant meteor.
Fingers crossed. Right. So let's talk about the not so libertarian candidates, because we were talking about that a little bit earlier. And, there's, I don't want to mention any names, but I guess it kind of goes into, you know, what we were saying earlier. We try to grow the party, and we bring in a lot of people who run as candidates who aren't really, I mean, some of them are like, there's nothing libertarian about them, except for that one guy I like to mention, who's like, he's a communist. He calls himself a libertarian, but the only thing he likes about the libertarian philosophy is that there won't be any cops to arrest him when he takes your shit. I won't mention his name either, but those kinds of people exist, and they are running for offices. Thankfully, not a lot of them. But so we have a lot of people running who don't necessarily represent the party and its platform. And we also have people who are very, very much like-minded with the platform, but it's against their morals to vote. And I can see where that's.
Yeah, I'm almost at that point myself. I mean, it was put to me, why vote? It only encourages them. And though I keep falling for it and voting libertarian, at the end of the day, it's still, if they win, they're forcing an ideology on people, and god damn it, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. So I'm torn.
This is the way I see it, and like, as I adjust my hat, because I'm may or may not be running for president in 2020. This is the way I see it. So that's a very good point, right?
My support then.
What's that?
I said you may or may not have my support.
Oh. So like, okay, yes, it's true, and there are a lot of libertarians with like crazy ideas that they're going to get into office, and they have this plan that's going to fix everything, and they're going to use government to continue to collect taxes, and they have all these plans for spending the tax money that's already collected and will still continue to be collected.
We've got a certain governor candidate that wants to use state funds to encourage poor women not to have children, which if you go read it on his website, it sounds like a eugenics plan to me, but apparently there's people defending it.
Yeah, I read that one. It's, it's not very libertarian. I mean, I can appreciate that he's trying to solve a problem, but again, he's trying to force his opinion of the best solution on someone else. And I mean, like, realistically, you could look at the libertarian pros on it, which would be you might have less kids on welfare, but it's like one of those things where, like, does the means justify the ends? Like, yeah, no. If you blow up California, you'll have less kids on welfare. But is that a good idea? Is it ethical to do that? Of course not. So
we're not supposed to be getting government more involved in people's personal and home life.
Exactly.
That's what the libertarian philosophy is about. It's about being left alone, having freedom to make your own choices and stuff, not using the state to incentivize people and still collect taxes and
Exactly. So it's but the way I see it is, so we have a lot of people who are fighting for freedom, and as they say, government isn't going to give you rights. You have to exercise your rights. But what I see as a position of president could do, if we did have a president who did want to defend liberty, is, and I'll talk about in a second about whether or not government should even exist, but
it shouldn't.
If,
spoiler.
Actually, I wasn't going to say that. We'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, wow.
I actually have a, like, well, okay, yeah, we'll get to that. But so the way I see it is, as president, what's the most powerful thing you can do to push the world towards liberty? And that is the pardoning power. So Brian Ellison is now facing criminal charges for, quote unquote, harassing the police because he's trying to get justice served. And that's called harassment. I mean, shit, when's the last time, like, you know, the cops were out, you know, oh, we have all these murder warrants. We're going to go find these murderers and we're going to arrest them. And then the murderers were like, we're going to sue you for harassment because you keep coming after me with those damn warrants. That's how stupid that is. But with the power to pardon him, and other activists who are constantly being arrested, not even just activists, but people who are exercising their rights, the right to smoke marijuana, whether it's in the Constitution or not. And I would argue that the Ninth Amendment puts it in the Constitution. You have a right to smoke marijuana and do other drugs as long as you're not harming other people. And you should be fully pardoned for exercising those rights. And that's it. And when the state police, the city police, the federal police start realizing that, hey, like, we're arresting all these people, but they keep getting pardoned, I think they're going to start to see, well, we can't keep doing this. Like, okay, let's stop arresting these people, because, and in effect, you're invalidating a lot of these laws that they have created without, you know, doing some, oh, we're going to do some criminal executive order, which a lot of people, like, you know, it's a legal and ethical way to say these laws suck and you can't enforce them by just pardoning the victims of those laws, of that enforcement. What's that?
Has that happened, though?
Well, no, that's my plan. which I can only do if I'm elected president. But at the same time, I'm offering a bunch of solutions to all the common status problems, like who's going to build the roads, what about healthcare, and all these other issues that they have. You know, I'm, because that's kind of the flip side of it, right? A lot of libertarians say we're just going to get rid of government, and then you have all these people like, but wait, I like my government. I like some of the things that it gives me, and okay, that's fine. You can still have that stuff. You just have to either A, figure out how to pay for it without stealing, or B, find out a way to get what you want without, I mean, it's, I guess it's kind of the same thing, without stealing, but in a different way that's not, how do you say this? Where I guess you get rid of some of the problem that's already there, and the benefit that you wanted kind of comes naturally. So like my, one example would be healthcare. If you get government out of healthcare and you start deregulating like all of the FDA regulations and everything, you're going to see the cost of medicine, doctor visits, everything else is going to start coming down because there's going to be more competition, more innovation. All these other things are going to start happening. So that's not necessarily less stealing. It's just more government out of the way. But so let's talk about whether or not government should actually exist. In its current form, it absolutely should not. But the way I see it is government is just a name. It's just a name for a group of people doing a certain thing, right? So does the Pineapple Pizza Caucus have a right to exist? Of course. And doesn't it have like a constitution and bylaws and all this other stuff? Sure.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
We're good.
And those rules govern how the people who participate in the caucus are allowed, like what they're allowed to do. And you kind of all decide on that as a group. Now, the difference is with government then says, oh, well, so everybody within like a 5,000 mile radius of where we are now has to follow the rules that we've created. Whereas the Pineapple Pizza Caucus wouldn't do that. But if the Pineapple Pizza Caucus didn't do that and they said, these are just our rules, how we want to govern ourselves, and we're going to raise money by doing some fundraising, which is not stealing, it's just some sort of fundraising, maybe it's selling t-shirts or donations or whatever it may be, and once we have this money, we're going to provide valuable service to the community, right? That's all well and good, right? There's nothing criminal about that. Now, you don't call yourself a government, but in many ways it is that, right? So now let me ask you this. If you took the government that we have today and you stripped out everything, that, which I know is like most of it, everything that government does that violates somebody's rights, that takes somebody's stuff, that hurts somebody, injures somebody, steals, if you take it out...
It does. I mean, the whole idea that we're part of it just because we're here is...
Absolutely, and that would be a part that would have to be removed in order for that statement to be true. That part of it would have to be removed, that this government is not the geography. This government is just something. People can pay money into it when they want, and it gives out benefits with that money in certain ways within this certain geography without stealing. I know, it's like you're rolling your eyes. It's a ridiculous concept, but the reality is when we talk about...
He doesn't want extra steps. I mean...
like I said, it's still getting rid of...
Enter the voluntary contract. I'm not going to... stop them, but that's not my bag, you know?
Exactly. But it's that's the thing, you wouldn't have to participate. I mean, imagine if government was there but you had no contract with it, so you didn't have to participate in any of their shenanigans. Would you care? I mean,
it doesn't affect me. I don't care,
right? They're not affecting you. They're maybe not like, let's take out the part where they're dropping bombs on random people, because that doesn't affect you directly, but it affects somebody else.
That's when it starts affecting me.
Right. So if they're not going around telling people how to live their lives, they're not stealing from people, they're not dropping bombs on people, they're not beating people, does some organization like this have a right to exist? And the answer seems to be yes, right? Now, at the same time, you've got the Pineapple Pizza Caucus. Now, what happens if like a couple of those guys decide like, hey, you know what we should do? We could make more money if we just started stealing cars, right? Or we just started like, you know, extorting people. It's very possible. Like, I mean, I know you guys aren't the type of guys who would do that, but, you know, in the wrong neighborhood, like, somebody might form some little organization, like, hey, it might be a gang, it might be, you know, whatever else, and they decide they want to start doing that. That's, you know, they don't call themselves government, although maybe in a certain neighborhood, a gang might, I mean, you know, when a gang declares something is their territory, they really are acting as a government, they just don't call themselves a government. So it's, I think, so back to the original question of, does government have a right to exist? I think the answer is not so much, I think it's kind of a word game, because some people will say government is force. You can't have government that doesn't force its will on people. And I think it's just like a word game. Like, it's just...
Okay, we come back to the argument, yes, you can try to make that exist, but where are these angels that'll make it happen? Where are the honest... Yeah. It doesn't exist. All of human history is backstab and betrayal and power hungry people. So
right,
we know. So you're going to trust somebody else to be honest and represent you and not skim and make errors, even when they're trying to do the right thing. Like I said, that seems more almost more utopian than the statists who think they can do that by force.
Maybe. I mean, so let me think about this for a second. I had a thought and then I lost it.
Sorry.
No. It was exactly like where you started talking. And I promise you, listeners at home, this has nothing to do with the alcohol. Who are these angels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the problem is you can actually use the argument as an analogy for gun control, right? Because people use guns to kill people, but these are bad people, right? Or unless it's self-defense, these are bad people who are using guns to kill people, right? Murderers. Now you can ban guns, but that doesn't solve the problem. There are still evil people, right? So now you have, let's not call it government, let's just call it organizations, right? Organizations of people, whether it's a government, whether it's a nonprofit, whether it's a charity, whether it's a corporation, whatever it is, it's a group of people who are, you know, who want to do something. And whether they do criminal activity or not depends on whether or not those people are good or not. But in order to say we have an anarchist society and government is not allowed, is to say these people cannot come together and form an organization and do
what... I didn't say not allowed. I just said I think it's going to end badly. Just clarify.
Well, that might be true, but that's also like saying, okay, yeah, but if we don't ban guns, it's going to end badly because there are still going to be murderers out there. And I think that's true. And I think, you know, arguably the biggest
one
danger
object one is something that power hungry people abuse mob rule to impose their will on.
Absolutely. But you have that without government too. I mean, you have organized crime. You have, even with government, you have organized crime. And arguably if government weren't there, that organized crime would grow faster and larger. It's
because, you know, what are all
true because there's no black market for them to thrive in. So yeah, that's a good point too. But I think just like the murderers, it's up to the people to be vigilant, to defend themselves against this type of thing happening. Like, you know, let's say you have a complete anarchist society where there is no government, there are no rulers. But then you have like a problem, like let's say a famine, and I'm sure this is like how things have started in the past. There's a famine, and then you have some guy come along and say, I can talk to the rain gods and I can make it rain, but you all have to give me money. And he gives them some sales pitch, and the next thing you know, they're signed onto some contract so that this guy can like enforce some evil contract on them. And then what's even worse is, you know, that's voluntary, but then they have kids. And their kids grow up in this system and they're like, oh, no, that's just the way things are. You're part of this contract, whether you like it or not. And I think that's kind of how we got to, you know, the way things are today.
That's how we got here.
So
we didn't have an anarchist system before that. We had a kind of kings, you know.
It's
slowly scaling down in theory, but every single group rose to the point where, even if being honest, the numbers you can't fairly represent the people, or you lose sight of the original goals and expand to what we have, which, depending on your opinion, either is or borders on a police state.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, part of that goes back to like being vigilant. I think if people are educated enough, and of course, you know, in America, they're not, I don't want
to. Enough. Okay, then that means you are you wanting to try to supply their education too?
Right. That's exactly. That's and
you just open the door to more and
right.
more.
Exactly, and but you know what? There's always a cycle in things too, right? There's like, you know, there's the fox and the rabbit, right? The fox, like, there's plenty of rabbits, so the fox eats them all, and they start to multiply. Because there's so many rabbits. Now there's so many foxes, they eat all the rabbits. Now there's no more rabbits, so the foxes all starve. Now there's no foxes, so the rabbits can start multiplying again. And it goes in a cycle like that. And I think maybe humanity is just forced to be stuck in that cycle. I mean, because that's kind of the reality. Like, you know, what do they say? Like, it's the same thing. It's the same cycle. They say good times create soft men create bad times create hard men create good times. You know, basically, like, what was that?
Sorry, I said that's what she said.
Oh. Okay, I totally missed the last one, but I knew as soon as I said hard men, I shouldn't have been. I was like, this is probably going somewhere really bad.
I've heard that, but I think that's a cycle worth trying to break. And mankind Absolutely. Or people or whatever need to, I don't know, get their shit together.
Yeah, but it's. Let's say this honestly. In 100 years, we're gonna be replaced by robots anyways. They're just gonna kill us all. So,
I'm sure. Yeah, it's a possibility at this point. But
I mean, it's really, like, if you look at it, it's really not that far fetched.
No, I mean, the transhumanists will probably have the first rise to power, and then.
Right
from there, pure robots.
As soon as you can download,
that's right.
Yeah, as soon as you can download your brain into, like, another, and this is what, like, I've made this analogy before, where I don't have kids, so I can't say if this is realistic or not. But the way I see it is, if I ever did have kids, it would be almost like when I get a new computer and I'm transferring all my data from my old computer to my new computer. It's like, okay, I have a kid. This is a new body. I have to teach him everything I know. And this is why parents get so mad when their children don't grow up to be what they want them to be. Like, you know, the lawyer dad wants his kid to be a lawyer too, but an even better one. It wants to, you know, be smarter and tougher and, like, everything else. And I think you're literally downloading your consciousness into a new being. And now that we have, or we're getting close to being able to do that with technology, I don't see it being too unrealistic to expect a lot of people to. There's actually a guy at my job who says he hates having to walk around and do things and go to bed and take showers. He's like, he would rather just download his brain into like a jar, like on Futurama. You.
But is that you? That's the, I mean,
right.
That's
the philosophical debate. But arguably,
if a person's still alive, then obviously it can't be that person because they're still having experiences. Oh,
well, could you be duplicated?
Didn't they make an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie about that?
I don't know.
Like, Eyelid showed how many times they were cloned.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to check that out. But or okay, what if they're not duplicated, but they time travel back into time, so there's two of them existing at the same time?
Are you going down Arnold Schwarzenegger movies now?
That's like every time travel movie. And I'm sure, like, Schwarzenegger's probably been in like 10 of them. Terminator counts. but. Yeah, I mean, it's that interesting philosophical debate, and arguably you could say, you know, you're not the same person now that you were 2 years ago because your way of thinking has changed. There's so many, like, you're the same registered body on the government database that we could say you're the same person, and if that's your qualification, you're the same person. But yeah, that's I don't know. It gets into interesting philosophical discussion, and, like, yeah, I'm working on this massive project. I need 10 of me. I'm going to clone myself into 10 different computers. And, like, now there's 10 of me and we're all working on this. Like, you know, hey, that's where Skynet comes from. Who knows? Maybe Skynet was real people.
I'm sure they'll come up with something. They keep seeming to make more and more of those damn movies.
Yeah. But what's crazy is, like, you know, we see these movies and, like, they seem far-fetched, but, like, there were so many movies that seemed far-fetched, like, when we saw them, like, you know, a long time ago. Like, any movie about going to space is a little bit more realistic now. Any movie about like robotics, artificial intelligence, like shit. We used to like, I remember watching, it was Austin Powers, which I know is a ripoff of like some of the James Bond movies that probably even had it before, where like I remember specifically Austin Powers was driving and like he got a call on the dashboard of his car, and there was a TV screen and it was video chat, and you have that in cars now. I mean, like, you can get, I don't know if they let you do the video chat, but like you can make calls through the like video screen on your computer, on the computer in your dashboard. And it's probably disabled for like distracted driver reasons, but you could do video conferencing on that dashboard. It's insane. And that's, you know, that's only like 10 or 15 years. I don't know how old is that movie. It's probably like close to 20 years now.
It probably was close to that. It was 90s, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It was right when I was right before I graduated high school, which was 99. So, yeah, that's close to 20 years. Wow. And yeah, and that seemed like insane technology. And now here we have it: self-driving cars. I remember seeing a commercial for the self-parking Lexus, and I was like, "That's bullshit. They don't have that yet." And they did. And I was like, and I still don't believe that they have it, because I've never seen anyone actually do it. Because like, who knows if people like? I guess I don't know anyone with a Lexus. Actually, I do. Anyway, maybe that's the upgrade no one wants to pay for.
Parallel park.
Yeah, like I don't like, you have to pay like an extra $10,000, and it's like, fuck it, I'll just park it myself. But yeah, I mean, technology is fucking amazing, and anything they have in a movie, except for maybe time travel, that's the one I haven't bought into yet. But I think any other technology that we've seen in movies, I think it could eventually happen, whether it's 10, 50, or 100 years or 500 years from now.
It seems like sci-fi shapes the next generation of what people try to design and make. The things they grew up looking at.
I saw this one. Did you see Extinction? I think it was a made-for-Netflix movie.
No, I don't think so.
If you're into those like sci-fi movies with like AI and everything, check that one out. That one was... I don't even know how to describe it without giving away the twist.
Okay.
But it was pretty fucking awesome. And like, I had no idea what I was watching. I was just like, oh, like I recognize that guy from that other movie. I'm going to watch this. And it started out pretty good, and then it started getting better. And then at the end, I was just like, no fucking way. So yeah, anyway, that's a good one. Man. All right, so I wrote down another note of whether or not to vote. We kind of talked about that a little bit. You want to say some more on that?
I just think that's something every anarchist struggles with.
Yeah.
Whether or not, and if that's still using force on somebody else, how far voting in self-defense goes. I mean, I can understand an argument for voting against... millage raising and tax increases and everything like that, but starting to question whether it's worth voting for candidates.
Right, whether you're voting to give, you're voting to give a certain power to steal to a person, a certain power to command an army to steal, which is really what it is. You're not giving them the power or the right to steal themselves. You're giving them control of an army. And I guess really the question is, if you can be absolutely certain that the person you're voting for is going to help dismantle that army, then it's not... I look at it like this, right? Like, let's say... you've got the internet, you've got your computer on the internet, and the internet's a good thing. You like the internet. You want to keep the internet. But there's this thing going around on the internet that's like a virus that's getting into a lot of different computers, and it's, you know, and it's doing all kinds of malicious stuff, right? Now you can do what the anarchists say, with the non-voting anarchists, which is just pretend it's not there, which is kind of what I think the non-voting analogy basically says. You know, I understand, like, if everybody just doesn't vote, the system will go away, but I don't think that's necessarily true, because that would also mean that the people in the system decide, you know, hey, we don't want power over you anymore either. And that's not going to happen. If everybody didn't vote except for like five people, there would still be people elected. And if these people are still controlling these armies that are going around stealing and taking people's rights away, you're going to have that system without a vote. Now, maybe at the point where that many people don't vote, maybe they'll start saying, hey, screw you guys. And maybe they'll start defending themselves with weapons. Maybe it'll turn into a civil war. Who knows? But going back to the analogy of like malware on the internet, if you were to say, okay, I'm going to figure out a weakness in this system, I'm going to create software that's going to somehow get into the system where the malware is coming from, and I'm going to have it go in and basically shut down that malware so it can't spread anymore. So now the internet is a safe place. We can all get back on the internet and not have to worry about this malware. That would be an acceptable solution to solving a problem like that, I think. And when you're voting for a candidate to go into government, and I know that brings up the whole argument of whether or not you can destroy it from the inside, I think that's effectively... Was that?
Listen, Konkin says you can't.
Who does?
Samuel Edward Konkin III. You can look it up on YouTube. He's got a speech called The Green Bow Ties, and he talks about the libertarian trying to work inside the system, and while working inside the system, they have to keep the system going.
Yeah, except without the keeping the system going part. which is, I mean, shit, all you got to do is like convince them, hey, you know, like, hey, I'm a mechanic, I'm here to fix the machine. And then as soon as you get in there, you just take a wrench and jam it in between the gears, right? You stop the machine. But did you participate in the system? Well, arguably you told everybody you were, but you were a Trojan horse, right? And so if you want to do that, I mean, that, you know, as many arguments as I hear, you can't take things down from the inside. There are so many examples where it has worked. The Trojan horse was one. The Twin Towers, if for anybody who believes that was controlled demolition, that was an inside job. They took down those towers from the inside. The Death Star. I know it's fictional, but that's exactly how that worked. And then when that last movie came out, we found out that the place they got those plans from was somebody who helped design it. It was an inside job, like even more than we thought, you know, just the detonator going down the exhaust chamber, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
So I don't know. I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it. But realistically, nobody knows if or how we're going to win this battle. And the way I really see it is we should just attack it from all angles. And to say voting doesn't help, that might be true. To say even the candidates who are running are worthless, and even if they get elected, it doesn't help, that could be true. But to not vote in either of those cases, I don't think it helps anymore. And especially when you have the lesser of two evils, I don't think if you don't vote versus if you vote for the lesser evil, I don't think the outcome is any different, except maybe you get the greater evil. And arguably, maybe the greater evil makes everybody realize how evil this whole system is and makes it collapse faster. That's an interesting argument, too. What's that?
Is that what you're hoping currently?
I haven't suggested for people to do this, but I have suggested that if everybody got onto Social Security as soon as possible and took as much as possible, and they quit their jobs and stopped paying taxes, the system would collapse pretty fucking quick. It would suck for a few months when we're all trying to work through this thing, but arguably if enough people did that, then the system would collapse. Their income would be cut off. They wouldn't be able to throw anyone in jail because they're not earning any income, so they're not tax evaders. They have no money to give out, so their welfare programs just disappear, and everyone realizes that they were shit to begin with. Even, you know, I mean, of course, they're probably going to start printing money and do that as long as they possibly can. But that's only a matter of time before hyperinflation kicks in. So arguably that would shut down the system pretty quick. But are you going to get enough people on board with that plan to say, well, I'm willing to rough things out for 3 months, if that's how long it takes, 6 months, if that's how long it takes, knowing that they're all still completely dependent on the food chain that is, you know, if hyperinflation starts kicking in, the food chain is going to be fucked up too. So you're not going to be able to walk down to Walmart or HEB and like go shopping. Like that's not going to be an option. You're going to have to depend on your neighbors growing food, which
until they pass regulations that stop, you know, you growing your own food.
Well, yeah, but if they have no money, they can't hire people to go enforce those regulations. But the reality is, like, if you got it, like, and this is suggesting if you got, like, you know, hundreds of millions of people on board with this, which is absolutely not going to happen because everybody loves the fact that they can just walk into a grocery store, pick the food that they want. They've got cable TV. They've got all these great, wonderful amenities. That if the currency collapsed in the process of getting the government out of the way, a lot of those amenities would go away. And I don't think a lot of people are willing to kind of rough it out under those circumstances. Some people are, but not a lot. And I don't think the resources are there as far as people being able to go to their neighbors to get the food that they need, because so many, like, I mean, look at New York, New York City, Los Angeles, these massive, massive cities where, like, you know, California does have food farms, but they're like miles, tens, 20, 50 miles outside of the city. A lot of people are just going to be screwed. That's kind of the reality if it goes that way. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. Yes, you could shut down the system pretty quickly that way, but a lot of people are going to suffer. And is that ultimately a good thing? But is kicking the can down the road and keeping the government around for a little bit, like, is that a good thing?
That the ends justify the means.
Exactly. It's.
You have to ask that question. It's usually no.
Well, also we talk about, you know, my hat's slipping all over the place. We talk about not forcing our way of living on other people. And so if we were to say, look, if we can rough it out for the next 6 months, the government's going to shut down and go away. Can we just do that? Because remember, there are 50, 100, 200, realistically, probably 300 million people in the U.S. who don't want that to happen because they're dependent on the system and they wouldn't want to rough it out. And so for a minority to say, we're gonna shut down this system that you love so much, and in the process, we're going to ruin your lives and make things miserable, Even if things like come back to normal after 6 months, is that a violation of the NAP? Fucking morals, man.
Right.
It's kind of like we're between a rock and a hard place. I mean, we're kind of screwed. That's whichever way you look at it.
What is it, Rothbard's button, just push it. I guess that would be one form of just pushing it, but
I guess somebody whose name I didn't want to mention. Oh, you hear that? Holy shit, I just knocked something off the wall. Sounds like storm's coming in. All right. So sorry, I'm reading back through all the comments. Replying to Facebook user. So I think that's somebody who blocked me, and I think I know who it is, and it's somebody whose name I won't mention, and wouldn't mention earlier. I'm just trying to like get context on some of these. That Matt Damon movie, this is Clayton Hunt, that Matt Damon movie where he's on Mars, all that technology exists. The only thing that doesn't is radiation shielding. Oh, is that a stab at NASA? Because isn't that what they say about the moon landing? We can't go back to the moon because we don't have the radiation shielding or something like that. We don't have that technology. There was,
Beats me.
man, that whole fight between whether or not the moon landing was faked, like there's really interesting arguments for both sides. And I mean that shit that NASA says, like, we don't have the technology to get back to the moon. Like, you guys got there with like pocket calculators before. Now we have supercomputers. That sounds fishy. I don't know.
Everything they do sounds fishy.
It's true. I mean, it's fucking government. They could have faked it for all we know. I mean, like, think about it. If any, I mean, like, I don't know any billionaires, but I could totally see it from like movies that I've seen about billionaires where like they might do some ridiculous, like Trading Places. You remember Trading Places? There were like these millionaires who ran the company, and then they swapped Eddie. They made Eddie Murphy, who was poor, they made him rich, and then they took what's that guy's name? He was one of the Ghostbusters, who was rich, and they made him poor as an experiment. Dan Aykroyd, yeah. And so they spent millions of dollars on, and arguably like it was the other guy's money. That's whatever, but they made a $1 bet, and they went through like all this shit. And it's like, if you think about it, there are millionaires, billionaires who are sitting around like, I bet you I could do this. I bet you could. And then you look at like the heads of nations who are like, I bet you we could get to the moon faster. Who, and like, if you look at the heads of nations, they're really kind of like temporary billionaires because for a short period of time, they have control over these like massive organizations, right? And so if it's like, shit, and I've seen this in companies I've worked for too. Not necessarily that level of fraud, but where it's like, shit, we're not gonna have the app ready on time. Can we just fake it? Can we make a PowerPoint instead? Until later on, then of course we'll finish it. So I don't think it's too far-fetched for the leaders in government to say, okay, look, we really gotta show off those Russians just because like I fucking hate that guy. But apparently our scientists can't get this shit to work, so let's just fake it. Like, I could totally see that happening. Whether
There'd just be so many people that need to be able to keep a goddamn secret that
that's a good,
odds are
yeah.
almost impossible. I mean,
It's and that's a really good argument against it too. I
kind of see if somebody arguing, oh, well, maybe they faked the video because they didn't have the tech to transmit video, but they actually did go. But even then, you get to that, like, why? Why? And how would they keep it secret for so long?
right. And that's another interesting argument. If they didn't have the video technology, right? So then it's like, I mean, imagine you've got a president. I don't even know who was president back then because that was before my time. I don't know. So you've got a president sitting in the Oval Office. So we made it to the moon, huh? But you're telling me we don't have any proof to show the Russians? Shit, they're gonna kill. They're never gonna believe us. What are we gonna do?
Isn't that why they also say they put a mirror up there or something?
Yeah, that you can shoot with a laser or see with a what do you fucking call that thing?
Telescope.
Yeah, there you go. I was about to say microscope. I'm like, no, that's not the right. I know I flunked science class, but I'm pretty sure that wasn't a microscope. Yeah, I don't know. I think that stuff is all it's all interesting to like follow and talk about, and like in the grand scheme of things, I really don't think it makes a difference whether it was faked or not. It's funny, like when I talk to people about that, I kind of like to talk about the different ideas as to like how it could or couldn't have worked. But at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna go home and watch Netflix. I'm gonna go watch some movie that I know is like completely fake, and I'm gonna get some pleasure out of that.
Right.
And if you leave here really mad at me because I don't believe what you believe, then sorry, not gonna keep me up at night. Man. All right, well, we've been on for a pretty long time, so I want to plug taxationistheft.cards. Go get your mugs. And there's also some legalized pineapple pizza mugs. Have you seen those?
Yeah, I think we might have shared them on our caucus page.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of cool stuff on taxationistheft.cards. And my Berman2020.com page now says that it's been taken down by the FBI and CIA and everybody else. But hopefully I will have that site back up soon with information about a campaign that I may or may not be running. Pineapple Pizza Caucus website or Facebook page?
We just got the Facebook page. Search Pineapple Pizza Caucus will come up. Then there's always the ANCAP caucus, the Audacious caucus, the Libertarian Party Psychedelic caucus.
I gotta see if I'm in the ANCAP caucus. I'm gonna go join because I'm probably in like 1,000 caucuses, but you could always use another caucus.
But
that's what she said. Right. Okay. All right, cool. Well, shit, it's been fun, man. And my power is probably going to go out any minute now. So.
Good luck. I know how that feels.
Yeah. All right, cool, man. Well, I'll see you around, and I'm going to go share the hell out of this video, and I hope you do too. And everybody else, share the video. And taxation is theft.
Taxation is theft.
All right.